I don't know about you, but in the midst of a particularly disturbing, violent, and chaotic week in the world, I have found myself asking a lot of questions over and over again. Mostly, what is happening? And where is God? And who are we as humans, as people of faith, as followers of Jesus? Today, we shift gears a bit and ask, who is Jesus? At this point in Luke's gospel, we aren't the only ones asking such a question. Having given the disciples the power to cure diseases and offer healing, in addition to sharing the good news, at the beginning of the chapter, he sends them out through the villages commissioned for such work. As word spreads of what Jesus and his disciples are up to, the ruler, Herod, wants to know who Jesus is. And after a great crowd is fed with 5 loaves and 2 fish, with 12 baskets of leftovers, Jesus puts the very same question to his disciples. Who do the crowds say that I am? After answering that, he gets even more personal. Who do you say that I am? And Peter answers, the Messiah of God. But Jesus insists on keeping that quiet. He sternly ordered and commanded them not to tell anyone, the text says. Not one verb, but 2, ordered and commanded. So it's about 8 days after all of this that James and Peter and John and Jesus head up the mountain to pray at the start of today's text. In what is perhaps a somewhat familiar story, widely known as the Transfiguration of Jesus. Even our denomination's planning calendar identifies this as Transfiguration of the Lord Sunday. Interestingly, though, some Bibles label this chunk of scripture simply as the Transfiguration. Now, maybe they're expecting us to fill in the of Jesus or our Lord part for ourselves, but I'm choosing to wonder if it might not be because Jesus isn't the only one transfigured on the mountaintop. Sure, Jesus is the only one who sparkles and shines and dazzles and changes appearance, but as far as I know, there isn't a single story in Scripture of someone encountering the glory of the divine and walking away unchanged. Even though the 3 disciples are drowsy and struggling to keep their eyes open when Moses and Elijah show up to talk with Jesus, it's clear that at least Peter knows that something has happened. Master, it is good for us to be here. Let us make 3 dwellings, 1 for you, 1 for Moses, and 1 for Elijah. And then things get weird, and they all get enveloped by a cloud with a voice. And needless to say, this cloud with a voice overwhelms them, and they are afraid as the cloud speaks. This is my son, my chosen. Listen to him. Terrified though they were, I can't help but imagine that when a holy cloud tells you to listen, you listen, gosh darn it. And yet, the text tells us when the sound of the voice died away, they saw Jesus standing there alone. Jesus says nothing. Not right away, not after a few minutes to process what's happened, not at all. Silence. Listen. Listen to what? To the sound of silence? The text continues, they were speechless. And they continued speechless, said not one thing to anyone during those days of what they had seen. Maybe it was because nothing was said, but maybe, just maybe, it was because of what they heard. Because here's what the psalmist reminds us. Out of the silence, your word can be heard in the land, inviting the nations to live at peace. Listen, oh, you people, open your hearts to the beloved, that truth may be born anew. Right now, for so many Ukrainians huddled in subway stations and school basements, makeshift bomb shelters, the hope of peace is literally the sound of silence. But in Russia, the hope of peace is far louder. It is in the chanting of no to war and the demonstrations of brave citizens facing almost certain arrest. Our Afghan refugee friends, Baz and Mursal, ache for a day when peace might be found for their siblings and parents and nieces and nephews still in Kabul. But for now, those family members lay low at home and stay quietly out of sight for fear of Taliban retribution. Closer to home, our lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender youth and their families long for the day when they are no longer threatened or erased or silenced. The collective whole of creation is groaning. And what can we possibly do about any of it? I think today's text offers an invitation. I think it tells us that in moments or seasons of transfiguration and change, we are invited to listen deeply to the voice of God found even in the sound of silence, to listen deeply to the holy silence found in ourselves below the noise of our anxiety or fear, our skepticism or critique, our certainty or plans, to listen well to the life of Jesus and other prophets whose witness surrounds us and whose way beckons to us, to quiet the voices of who we think we should be as an individual or as a community, and to listen instead for the endless possibility found in the stillness of God. While listening doesn't seem like nearly enough, in the sound of silence, in the voice of God, there is surely wisdom, there is surely comfort, and there is surely hope. In the sound of silence, we might get in touch with our intuition, with our calling, with our sacred imagination for what's possible. In the sound of silence, we might catch the hum of what can be, the hints of a melody of mercy, the tones of justice and true peace. And what a gift that would be for us, for our community, and for our world. As we seek to do so, the psalmist also reminds us that we are not pioneers in the practice of holy listening. Instead, many who have gone before you followed the beloved's voice, we hear. The unknown saints of all generations, they surrendered themselves into the beloved's hands and walked with confidence. They were guided through difficult times, keeping to love's way and trusting in love's promises, inviting them to a new life. Zora Neale Hurston reminds us that there are seasons that ask questions and seasons that answer. As we head down the mountain with Peter, James, and John, transfigured and speechless, as we head toward the start of the difficult Lenten road with Jesus, walking a path that is both an ending and a new beginning, let us listen, and listen well. Because my hunch is that Lent just might be a season that will answer if we let it. And we will be transformed by what we hear. So may we listen to what holy silence says. May we listen for the beloved's voice. Though the path isn't easy, may we keep to love's way and trust in love's promises, which invite us to new life, which compel us toward peace, which move us toward justice and flourishing for all creation. But I think listening deeply for God's voice may not come easily without a bit of practice. So I want to invite us into a time of holy listening together this morning with a spiritual exercise called Lectio Divina. While it sounds fancy, it is really rather simple. I'm going to read a poem of blessing for you once through. We'll share a period of silent listening, and then we'll hear it once more. Both in reading and in the silence, you're invited to soften or close your eyes, to sit comfortably with your feet on the floor to ground you in your body, to hold an open posture, maybe with your hands upturned, but most importantly, to listen. You might pay attention for a word or a phrase that stands out to you. It might shimmer in your mind's eye as you hear it or remain with you in the silence. You're just listening for whatever word or image of wisdom, courage, peace, or challenge that God might be offering you in this moment, in this day. So, friends, I'll invite you to take a moment to get comfortable, to take a deep breath in, and let us listen for God's voice together. Dazzling by Jan Richardson. Believe me, I know how tempting it is to remain inside this blessing, to linger where everything is dazzling and clear. We could build walls around this blessing, put a roof over it. We could bring in tables and chairs and have the most amazing meals. We could make a home. We could stay. But this blessing is built for leaving. This blessing is made for coming down the mountain. This blessing wants to be in motion, to travel with you as you return to level ground. It will seem strange how quiet this blessing becomes when it returns to earth. It is not shy. It is not afraid. It simply knows how to bide its time, to watch and wait, to discern and pray, until the moment comes when it will reveal everything it knows, when it will shine forth with all it has seen, when it will dazzle with the unforgettable light you have carried all this way. Dazzling by Jan Richardson. Believe me, I know how tempting it is to remain inside this blessing, to linger where everything is dazzling and clear. We could build walls around this blessing, put a roof over it. We could bring in a table, chairs, have the most amazing meals. We could make a home. We could stay. But this blessing is built for leaving. This blessing is made for coming down the mountain. This blessing wants to be in motion, to travel with you as you return to level ground. It will seem strange how quiet this blessing becomes when it returns to earth. It is not shy. It is not afraid. It simply knows how to bide its time, to watch and wait, to discern and pray, until the moment comes when it will reveal everything it knows, when it will shine forth with all it will see, when it will dazzle with the unforgettable light you have carried all this way. Friends, may we listen well in the days and weeks ahead. May we listen well for God's voice. May we listen well in the stillness and the silence. May it be so, this day and each day. Amen.